Well, at first there was this howling noise, but
Yeah, you mean
Okay,
it's the.
1, 2, 3. Here we are at
Yeah.
4, 5.
This is Garnet McCoy. It's December the 2nd, 1992. I'm talking to Bill Wolfenden and to Irving Burton about the Archives of American Art and its early days. I want to start with a quote from E.P. Richardson's diary. Richardson having been the co-founder of the archives. This is written in 1951, and he says, "Those who, like Walensky, criticize art history as a useless pursuit often call it so because, they say, a work of art should tell its own story directly to the eye. History, they say, offers a false substitute for this direct experience." Halfway true. One must have the direct experience for oneself, that is granted. But it is impossible to see a work of art unless one is in sympathy with the artist's intention. One must put oneself in tune with him, recreate his intention, see with his eye to comprehend his work. The man who judges the works of one age with the feelings of another may, as Coleridge said, be a very fine gentleman but is no critic. Now, this was written in 1951, as I said, and it seems to me that it does give Richardson's view or feeling about the importance of art history, which I am assuming led to his interest in preserving the documentation that art history requires to be written. Bill, do you have any views, I mean, any thoughts on Richardson's own intention with respect to the founding of the archives? Did he ever talk to you about it in the earlier days?
He talked about it a lot. I think his frustration was the thing that I remember, that he felt that in order to write intelligently about American art, you should know what happened in St. Louis or San Francisco. Or if he was interested in an artist, where they had been, and that he didn't have time as a busy museum director, and no one else much did, to go around and find this stuff. And he thought the thing that would give most energy to the study of American art was the collection of manuscript materials in one central place. He kept stressing the centralization.
And then when it did get started with just a few people and enthusiastic interest, were you aware of the how much were you aware of the earliest development of the archives before you came to the archives yourself?
Well, I was aware of it. We resented it terribly. The museum was broke, and Ted was trying to keep the Art Quarterly alive, and then along came the archives.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like more than could be swung. But Irving knows more about that period.
That's true.
Than I do.
Yeah, but you did hear talk about it from the staff.
And we were invited, the staff was invited to various events, if Vincent Price was there or Aline Saarinen. So that we were. Well, the other thing about it was that Richardson, in order to make it work, had to use the facilities of the museum. So
yeah.
That everybody in the museum got involved in one way or another.
And how did you first get involved, Irving?
Well, I got involved because we went out to buy some pictures to decorate our house.
Oh.
And we just got in a trap of dealers without any idea of what was going on. And this, one way or another, led to Larry, who was that, of course, the big collector. And then from Larry, we had gone to the museum where they had a show of American artists. They were bought in from the dealers, and the Friends of Modern Art then, and then this was open to the public to buy. They bought directly from the dealer. My memory is that Ted Richardson himself came out when we came down, showing great interest, and told us about a few things and gave us various suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
So once we got